today on Real Radio.
If we're not in a church gathering, then there's a tendency to join some hot rod club. We'll be enthusiasts of some group. Why? We find some sort of camaraderie where we all get together. There's this belief thing that is within us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. Now, because there are so many misconceptions of what it means to be a Christian, Pastor Jack is explaining the foundations of our faith in this lesson of this series. It's simply called What If? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It's in Acts chapter 26 that Paul the Apostle, in one of the first parts of the Bible, Paul was preaching in Jerusalem. He was preaching resurrection, and the Jewish leaders were absolutely against him out of jealousy, out of anger, because there was great power with Paul. And at the same time, he was preaching Christ Jesus having been resurrected from the dead. And so in that message of Paul's, he was arrested and he was put in prison in Jerusalem. And by God's intervention, he was taken by an entourage of 270 armed Roman soldiers and transported him to Caesarea. And in Acts chapter 26, Paul is at Caesarea. He's in jail and they bring him out. Now, some of you have been there with us in that fantastic amphitheater. And it faces the Mediterranean. It's beautiful. And Lord willing, this spring we'll be there again. And as Paul was brought up from the areas beneath the stage, as where the actors were prepared before they would come on the stage, Paul now, who's been brought into question, he is up on the stage and he's presenting his argument, and there's a tremendous crowd gathered. Well, prior to those events, Paul was witnessing to Felix. You might remember that. And Felix was a man who studied a little bit about Christianity. And Felix was one who wanted to be all things to all men, but for his own self. Not to promote the gospel. Felix wanted to promote himself. And so as he was taking in, he was kind of a polytheist. He took in everything about the gods or God that he could. He wanted to cover all the bases in case, you know, he missed anything, didn't want to offend any gods, so he embraced them all. And there's people like that today. And so Paul was witnessing to Felix, and as Paul is passionately witnessing to him, it's that famous statement where Felix says to Paul, as Paul is in this evangelistic vein of witnessing, Felix interrupts and says, Paul, too much learning has made you mad. And Paul says, oh, I'm not mad, most noble one. You know, this is the truth. And as he begins to speak, he says, you know what? As he's witnessing, he's interrupted by the ruler and says, you know, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And the sad thing is, we have no record of that ruler ever becoming a Christian. He says, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Paul laid it down black and white. He laid down the love of God, the grace of God. Yes, he laid down the judgment of God. And yes, he laid down the reason why Jesus would have to go to the cross and why Jesus Christ would have to pay our debt on the cross. Yes, but he laid it down in a way that it was the truth spoken in love. And even this man who was polytheistic in his beliefs said himself, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Well, there's a lot of people today that are almost persuaded. And we enter into this series wanting to lay down the black and white truths of Christianity. And people don't want to address things that are black and white. It's easier for us to make them gray. And so Christianity has suffered, as we looked at last time, this gray area. that the Bible is something that is a storybook. It's not something that you lean upon and trust upon. The Bible is something that is a suggestion to our lives. And we don't know quite how to handle it, a lot of people will confess. It's like the Ten Commandments. Now in Alabama, with all the debate that's going on, they've been removed now and put into storage until they're able to figure out what to do with God's Ten Commandments in the state of Alabama. Isn't that fantastic? They think by putting them back in the back room, they're just going to go away. We don't have to look at it. And praise the Lord, the Christians in Alabama and around the nation are all upset and letting, you know, the Alabama Supreme Court know what their thoughts are about this. But just get it out of our sight. We don't want to talk about black and white. And yet, Jesus Christ never minced words. He made it clear, and what he spoke was done in love. And we know that's the case because prostitutes were gathered to him. The sinners came to him. He wasn't condescending. He wasn't arrogant. He wasn't self-righteous. He was loving. He was kind, but he was to the point. And they loved that about him, and so they came to him because they knew that he was the author of truth, and he spoke it with authority. So as we look to this series, and as we look at the introduction tonight, we're going to be considering things about discipleship and maturity and our Christian experience, development. And we cannot have these things happen in our lives unless we know what the Bible teaches and why it teaches it. So the Bible, you know, declares itself to be the ultimate authoritative final word on the governing power in our lives. Are you aware of that? As a church, we are. It is the Bible that is the standard for how we live and what we do in our lives. Do we embrace the Word of God? If we believe that it has come from the Lord, that these are the scriptures God has given us, and we've experienced his power and we've experienced his leading, there's a tremendous excitement because we go, yes, Lord, teach me. Yes, Lord, tell me. And maybe, you're in that area tonight where, well, I don't know if the Bible is for me. Well, you know, go through this series with us and listen carefully. A couple of things we want to consider. First of all, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word in Greek means it is breathed by God. Look at your Bible. What God has captured in written form for us, in print before us, the Bible tells us of itself that it is God-breathed, inspired. And it is profitable for doctrine, that's instruction in life, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, meaning it gives us the way and the what and the wherewithal to live a life that is right unto God. So the Bible is the manual, so to speak, for life. 2 Timothy 3:17 says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, or thoroughly ready at every moment for God's use in our lives. So a few things we want to look at tonight. Jot this down if you would. Number one, belief and hope and faith are intrinsic to humanity. We're going to talk about this right now because it's foundational to the very series that we're going to go into. Keep this in mind. What is belief? If we're talking about belief, hope, and faith, the things that are associated with believing, what does a Christian believe? We cannot go very long without coming across key words, belief, hope, and faith. We begin to find out, though, that as we look at humanity, as we look at sociology throughout history, that it is intrinsic inside the human heart that man should move towards belief, hope, and faith regarding his life. So what do Christians believe? Well, you might say, well, who cares? Because everybody believes something. It's the way that we're wired. Well, okay, yes, it is true. Number one, belief is something that is intrinsic to humanity. Humanity, the human spirit, wants to believe. In fact, the human spirit will look for someone or something to believe in to find or to have some sort of acknowledgement. We naturally cling to groups. If we're not in a church gathering, then there's a tendency to join some hot rod club. We'll be enthusiasts of some group. Why? We find some sort of camaraderie where we all get together. There's this belief thing that is within us. And the amazing thing is everybody believes in something. So if you jot this down, where would this, if we're going to ask this question regarding this series about having this belief intrinsic to us, where does it come from? And I'm right now laying this down specifically for those who may be real doubters in the existence of God. Ask yourself this question. Why is it that every person believes in something? Where does that come from? If we are just evolutionary creatures, then the question is why? Why do we seek to believe? The ability to believe, and what is belief? That's where we begin the foundation of this. Oxford Dictionary, 1933 edition, defines belief as a mental or an emotional action, a condition, a state, a habit of trusting in or the confiding in of a person or a thing, to trust in a thing or a person, or to rely upon him or it. So it doesn't have to be a person, it can be an it. You can trust in your bank account, and you can believe in it. You say, well, I don't believe in my bank account. Well, listen, is it something that you are emotionally attached to? Is it a condition or a state whereby you retreat to it? If you believe in something, again, you can be an evolutionist and believe in your evolutionary premise. Where do you seek refuge? Where do you go to lean upon? What condition is it in your life that it's that thing that you're banking on? Belief. It's important that we go through this series in the following weeks or months ahead because every person believes something. No matter what they might want to try to deny. I don't believe in anything. Yes, they do. It's intrinsic to the human heart to believe. Everyone's reaching. Everyone's probing and hoping. Another word that is used for belief is to place your determination upon. That's a strong word. If you are believing in someone or something, it's defined as placing your determination upon it. Not your determination like I'm going to go reach for that, you know, goal and I'm going to win that prize. It's the determination of your very existence. Your very existence is based upon what you believe. Well, I believe I'll have another beer, someone has said. And we laugh at that and say, well, you know, yeah, I saw that on a commercial or whatever. Or maybe, you know, Uncle Bob used to say that all the time. Well, wait a minute. What happens when someone's life goes bad? What happens when someone's life is difficult? What do they turn to? What do they run to? Do they run to the God who is wiser or do they run to Budweiser? Where are they going with that? You know, that's an important thing. Difficulties, when they come into our life, they're set into our lives, I believe, by God. If you're a Christian, difficulties come into our lives to see what we're made of. Now, God knows what we're made of, but you and I don't know what we're made of. And it's funny, we always have an interesting evaluation of ourselves. Either it is either way off in the negative of what God knows of us, the negative being, I can handle anything, bring it on. You know, you meet people like this and they're not afraid of anything, so to speak. Oh, I'll take care of that, or I'll do the other thing. I can handle all that. And there's a lot of them around. You know what I'm saying? That's the negative. But then we can be way off the bank in the positive. The positive meaning we can have such a humble look at ourselves that we have relegated ourselves down to being something that is almost despised by God. You know? God doesn't love me. I'm a nothing. And you may believe yourself to be a total nothing. But God does not see you as a nothing. What do you believe? What is your determination? Everybody has this belief driving in their heart. It's what is intrinsic to humanity. Where would this attribute arise from if God did not create us? God did create us. And this passion to believe, it's placed within man's very soul. The attribute, where has it arisen from? If we believe, and everybody does, where has it come from is the question we're asking. We would love to ask the evolutionist, where does this passion to believe come from? Why is it in every culture there is this desire to believe? Well, man needs to believe. This is a good witnessing tool. When you're sharing with somebody, ask them, what do you believe in? When you tell them, well, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, they'll go, oh, what a fool you are. Well, wait a minute, my friend, before you laugh too loud at me. Wait, what is it that you believe then? Again, they cannot say nothing. Because if you continue to probe, you will find something. Usually they'll say nothing because deep down inside, because it's the witness of the Holy Spirit against them, they know that what they believe in is absolutely ridiculous. I believe in little green men that have come from Mars, and they're, you know, all this stuff, and a lot of people are believing, you know, the signs in the heavens and the things and the this, and this is the deal, or whatever it might be. They believe. But the question is, where did it come from, this passion to believe? What about this? Why would mankind need hope? Hope. Belief, hope, and faith are intrinsic to the human soul. So listen, the question is, why would mankind need hope? Why does mankind have a need to believe? Why does mankind have this desire for hope? Why is hope so important to you? Why is it so important to me? I'll never forget it, and you've heard it in messages before. It's so very important, but we've been told by so many leaders that when a person loses hope, they die that fast. Did you know that? When a person loses hope, they die that quick. A person can flounder in their belief. A person's faith can be on the ropes. But when a person loses hope, when all hope is lost, you follow through with suicide. That's what they talk about. When all hope is lost, a person dies that fast. Why? Because that's when they pull the trigger. Hope is gone. To have hope gone is to believe that there's no rescuing for me. Why is hope so intrinsic in the human heart? Isn't it amazing that the human heart will search for hope? Search. I'm a history nut, and I was watching the History Channel. I love that channel. And I don't remember the ship. It was during World War II, but the ship went down, and these men, over 200 of them were in the water. You heard this, right? You saw this recently? And these 200 sailors were hanging on together, and the sharks began to circle in the South Pacific. And those men who were on the outer ring of that 200-plus people circle, they were getting eaten away by sharks. For a week, these men were in the water with their life jackets, and they said the water was red. And the sharks just ate and ate and ate and ate for a week, working and picking off those that were on the outer fringe of the circle. And they said there were torsos upside down, bobbing around. They had arms gone. It was horrible. And the men who survived, as they were retelling the story, were weeping. And they were talking about how in a week, their 21, 22-year-old hair, black, brown, blonde, curly, straight, turned white in a week from stress. And the men talked about hope. They said, we hoped that help would come, then the sun would go down, then the sun would come up, one day gone, how long are we going to be out here? And with every day, this one man talked about diminishing hope. That man, though, was an old man now, speaking on the History Channel. He survived. But he said, you know what? We nearly lost all hope. The tragic thing is, the men who were closest to the outside of the circle, consumed. If somebody's consumed right in front of you, can you imagine the temptation to lose hope? You feel your friend tugged away from you by the jaws of a shark, and you're on the outer ring now, and your life literally becomes a bumper to fill the belly of a shark until you're gone, you know? You're just a bumper. And you lose hope. Well, people lose hope in bedrooms, in hotel rooms, at work, and they put a gun in their head. Why? As we look to what Christians believe in this series, we need to be asking the questions of those friends that are around us, maybe non-believers certainly. Why do you want hope? Why do you long for hope? Every person longs for hope. And the question is, why is that within us? because God placed it there. We long for hope. We'll do anything and we'll hang on. Even if it's a weak and bloody water, we'll hang on and we hope. Man, there's a powerful thing in hope. Remember this. It was a study done by the University of San Francisco so long ago now, some 20 years ago. It's still so powerful. They took the wharf rat that is found on the Oakland and San Francisco Bay ships and vessels and all the boxes and crates and junk that these little wharf rats are running around, and they did a study. And they took these wharf rats and they put them in an aquarium, and they began to flood them with water, and they began to drown. The little rats began to drown, and just before they drown, they scoop them up. And they blow dry them, feed them, getting all dry, make them feel all good. And they come back the next day, and they take the rat, and they throw them in the thing again, and they put water in there, and they got a stopwatch going. And the little meter's running, and the first time they threw him in, he lasted like 10 minutes before he gave up, treading water. They put him in the second time, they start the clock, and they're flooding that little rat with water, and he lasted 15 minutes. Pulled him out, dried him off, gave him a hot dog or whatever they eat, everything, anything, and made him all happy again and brought him back the next day, and they threw that rat in the water and he hung on for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And the last study is pretty tragic. Last study, he drowned to death, but he hung on for over 30 minutes. Now, prior to that, see, he was in the difficulty, but he was rescued. What kept him going from 10 minutes to 30 minutes? He was hoping that the guy in the white jacket would get off of his chair and scoop him out of that tank, because it happened one time, it happened a second time, it happened a third time. Oh, mister, get off your chair and scoop me up out of here. That rat had hope. Man, if a lab scientist can put hope in a rat, God can put hope in our hearts as human beings. Hope. Why would mankind need hope? We can't function without hope. Hope generates endurance in our lives. It's always, as we've been talking, we're going through, as you know, we're going through a lot of heating and air conditioning problems and sound problems and all this kind of stuff. And it's going to be a process of working these things out. But you know what? We have hope. It's going to get better. And Chris was telling me during service, Jack, don't worry, this too shall pass. And a couple times I had to say, this too shall pass, this too shall pass, this too shall pass. Sometimes that's all we can do, you know that? You're hanging on for your life. Can't make the payments, can't get the food, can't get the job, can't get the situation going. It seems like everything's stacked against you, yet you know you believe in God, and you know that he loves you, but the temptation is, God, why? It's like Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. He says in his Jewishness, have you seen the movie? If you have not seen the movie, you have to see the movie. There's a scene in there when Tevye is talking to God in Fiddler on the Roof. And he says, God, I know we're the chosen people, and you love us, and you've chosen us among all the people of the world. We are your chosen people. But God, please, can you just choose somebody else for a while? And sometimes we feel like that. God, I know you love me, but wow.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study quite simply called, What If? It's the first lesson in this topical series called What Christians Believe, and if you'll stick with us, I think you're going to love every minute of it. We're just getting started, and there's a lot more to come, so join us again as we continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just recently, Pastor Jack concluded his series through the Old Testament book of Joshua. Now, if you missed it, or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of Joshua, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. You're going to love this whole series on the book of Joshua. Just get it for yourself on MP3 CD, or maybe somebody you're thinking of could use it. Why don't you get it for them? Simply visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. It's real easy. RealRadioactive.org. Or if you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear your voice at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.